The echo, is it echo? Everybody good? A little bit of echo? Okay, I'm good. Just hear it myself. Thanks for having me back with you. I appreciate the leadership here. I appreciate the heart of this church. Want to welcome you if you've been here for 40 years or if this is one of your first visits here. And I'm thankful for what the church is working on here to try to be able to reach its community, things like Friends Speak and the like. So a number of years ago, many years ago, I was speaking at the Morro Bay Family Encampment up in Morro Bay, California. And I don't really remember too much about that experience, except it was outdoors, it was cold, there was a fire pit that they had going, and during one of the lessons, a dog chased a squirrel up a tree and kept on barking. Now, other than that, I'm sure they got a lot out of it. But the theme that week that was selected was the purpose of the church. Now, I don't really remember what I thought about it as a theme back then, but as I've gotten a little older, I've gotten to realize what an important topic that is, the purpose of the church. And if I were to speak on that again, I don't know the exacts of what I would be talking about, but there's two components that has to be there. Because the church is about being in the God business, not business, you know, I mean, the works of God, the activities of God, the mindset of God, the heart of God. The church is about the God business and the people business. Now, you can have a place, an organization that is about people being without God, but you cannot have a place that is in God's business that is not in the people business. Let me say it again. You can have a group, even a church, that's in the people business that's not in the God business, but you cannot have something in the God business that doesn't include the people business. Because any accurate theology about God includes his heart for people. In 2012, Donna and I moved from San Luis Obispo to Denver, Colorado. And while I was there, she was wrapping some stuff up with her real estate and would be moving out later. And I visited some churches in the area. One of the churches that I visited turned out to be the church that we attended, that we fully loved, we fully respected. It was a wonderful, wonderful church. It was biblical. The people were loving, were caring. They applied the Bible to their lives. It was a wonderful church. And yet, let me tell you about my first visit. I went into the building, didn't know anybody, looked around, saw a guest table. There was no one at the guest table manning it, operating it, but I went over there and looked at some of the material that they had there, and I stood there in the foyer, busy foyer, people going to and fro, running back and forth. No one said hi to me, even. Later, during that same time period, I went into another hallway there right next to the auditorium, and they had a list of home groups, small groups that met throughout the week, and they had them on a map, something that I would be interested in. And I was there looking at the map in a busy hallway, with members coming to and fro, tick, 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 tick. no one greeting me. Finally, one man did greet me and introduced me to somebody else, and that person, we ended up eventually becoming part of their home group. Now, how is it that a biblical, loving, generous, warm congregation could give off such a first impression? I think there's numerous reasons. One reason is we have to realize that maybe approximately 40%, I heard that as a number thrown out once, 42% of people are introverts. And that is okay. If you are an introvert, God made you that way. Do not beat yourself up for it. It is okay. Amen. God still has a place for you that's very special where you can connect and reach people in ways that extroverts cannot do so. For introverts, especially those that may be highly introverted, the thought of meeting new people is extremely uncomfortable, extremely anxious. The thought about not wanting to bother somebody, not knowing what to say, making small talk. I would encourage you, though, if you are an introvert, to be able to push a little bit, to be able to not greet everybody all the time that is new, but to be able to take one person at a time and try to do a little bit within that. The second thing is I think that we simply just get comfortable in our little space. And we don't mean to, but in a sense, we don't even necessarily see the other person. And we fall into the rut of being with the same people, and it's very comfortable, and many times it's very good. But it's very easy to be able to forget about the person that's on the outside. Other times we think about it being not our job. Now, at this church, I was so pleasantly surprised as well as encouraged that this morning I was in the hallway and one Peggy Riggins greeted me and smiled and asked me some basic questions about was I had come here regularly, things like that. Absolutely textbook perfect. You can tell her how I messed with her a little bit, and I shouldn't have done that. But if we think that just because we have greeters that it's not our job, we are falling short of what we should be. Another thing could be more a little bit underlying. Perhaps we like our environment so much that underlying we're a little apprehensive about, I don't want this place to grow. I don't want it to change. What's it going to be like? Could it be like? What could happen? What type of people could come in? They may be different than us. They may think differently. They may act differently. They may look differently. And it's going to destroy our little close bond here that we have. That's one to negotiate because ideally speaking in a church, you have both. You have your bonds, but you bring people in and make them feel welcome as well. I have a little bit of an illustration here that I'd like to do. And it's going to take about 5 minutes, and I hope it's not too uncomfortable. But I need 6 volunteers for about 5 minutes to come up here and do a little demonstration to be able to show a visual representation and to learn a little deeper about these types of behaviors we're talking about. So male, female, young, old, it doesn't make any difference. Need 6 of you, okay? So about 5 minutes, and I promise it won't be too painful. It'll be fun in some ways. Anybody? All right, there's Tim Bruce. There's a couple others. I love it. I love it. Thank you. Okay. There's four. Two more. There we go. Perfect. All righty. So, I'm going to have five of you be the church, be the inside group, and it's going to be you three and you two. And Bruce, you don't know these people, okay? So your goal, the five of you, is to be out here and... Yeah, somewhat of a circle, whatever you want to do. And you are to not let anybody else join your group. Okay? That's your goal. You are not to let anybody join your group. Now, Bruce, your goal is to try to join the group. Now, you have a role in this as well. And that is, I want you to observe. I want you to watch the key indicators. What does the five of them do to try to keep Bruce on the outside? Then I want you to also watch, what does Bruce do? What is his strategies for trying to enter the group? And we'll talk about this. So is everybody clear? Five of you going to come here out in the middle. Your goal is to be a group, not let anybody else in. Bruce, after they get set up, I'll tell you to go. You're to try to join them, and your goal is to get in.
Is this?
No physical harm.
Exactly, Bruce. Okay. No pulling them over.
Yeah. Yeah. So five of you, won't you come up inside group? Okay. I'll get over here. You guys. Okay, Bruce, why don't you go join that group?
Good morning, everybody. You know, I get along with the business community here really well. Excuse me. Boy, this is a tight group. Good morning, dear.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I'm here.
Thank you. All righty. So, what were the behaviors that you saw the group do to stay together? They just talked. Okay? What else? Kept their backs to him. They kept tight. Okay, they were shoulder to shoulder. There wasn't any room for openings.
No eye contact.
That's a huge one. They ignored him. Same type, very similar. No eye contact and ignored. It's interesting that when I would be teaching a class at a junior college back in Texas, one of the things I would do is I've talked about the importance of nonverbal and verbal communication. So I'd be talking to somebody, and I would say, I'd start holding a conversation with them and say, well, tell me about your day. And after about 2 seconds, I'd kind of look away and smile at somebody and then kind of get back to them. And I do that, and finally you ignore them for a few more seconds, and they literally just kind of go, brr. They stop. It's that powerful. Now, what did Bruce do to try to get in? Okay? He tried different avenues and options to get in. Yeah, he mentioned something valuable that he had. He had lots of money.
They knew I was a liar, though.
Yeah, he actually made physical contact with one of them. He tried to somehow find a common interest. I'm a nice guy. I'm in the business community. You know, things that maybe they were talking about. All those are very good and normal strategies. The one thing he didn't do that I would do would say something to the effect of, I thought you were a bunch of Christians. Evidently not. You know, now a little guilt on there, but that's just for that. Okay. So we see here that the bottom line is, who wins? The group or the individual on the outside trying to get in? That's right. That's the exact right answer. The group wins the little skirmish, but they lose the overall dynamic of being able to bring somebody else into the group, because you have a lot of power. You have been blessed with a lot of power, and that power is the power of attention and the power of separating somebody or bringing them in. Let's read Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and following. Luke 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. The next two parables are also about lost things. The first one is a lost coin that the woman ends up looking around her house to try to find it. Maybe we would think more of the idea of a lost cell phone or a lost wallet with our credit cards in it. The next one is about a son who asks for his inheritance from his dad and then goes off and squanders it. And then he is in such miserable shape because of a famine that's going on in the land. He thinks, my father has hired men who are eating better than me. I can go back and tell my father I was wrong, and would you take me back as a hired servant of yours? And when he does so, the father comes out to greet him, throws a robe on him, a ring, and throws a party. Brings him not back as a servant, but as his son. So these parables about the lost and the redeemed, the lost and found, are a stark contrast between the religious leaders of the day, the religious thinkers of the day, and the heart and mind of God. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were upset. They were muttering, Jesus is welcoming people that aren't fit. Jesus, on the other hand, shows that God seeks all people. He longs to find, he longs to connect, and God values all people. No one is expendable. No one is expendable. And our culture is a culture that thrives on expendability. Throwing things away. Things have finished their usefulness. We move on with them and buy something, buy it again new. And the same is true even with people, where people are replaceable. We do not value people, as some other countries do, as they age and get older. We have places where it is expendable. You are replaceable. But that, my friends, is not the heart of God. God's heart from the very beginning was to go after his people, to bring them back in, to redeem them, to use them, to give them his spirit, and to welcome them. We are in the God and people business. You cannot separate that. If you welcome people and acknowledge people, they will enter. You affirm their experiences in life, and they will start seeing you as safe, and they will begin to trust you. If you notice and highlight their abilities, they will come alive. If you accept their flaws, they will start to love. You help them find their place in the group, and they will start to thrive. You give them a voice, and they will know they matter. You lovingly challenge them to give their best, and they will respect you. And you give them Jesus, and they can find life. I speak this today not because I think this church needs it, but more as an affirmation of what you're doing out there in the foyer, what you're doing in here when you see each other, and to be able to go out and extend those graces to other people and bring them in as well. God bless this church, and I pray that you will be blessed this week. We're going to stand and have an invitation song. If you have a need and you feel a need to come forward, please do. If not, find one of the leaders like Bruce, and he will help you become part of the group.